Well, we want to think about an important subject today, and that God, the God of the Bible, is the God of truth. The God of the Bible is the God of truth. In the passage of Scripture we looked at today in John chapter 8, we find that God is the God of truth, and that the God of truth has given us the word of truth, and that the people of God are people of truth. John chapter 8 and verse 40, we see Jesus as the God of truth. Now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth. A man who told you the truth. We see in verse 47, and other verses, we find that the people of God are people of truth. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God heareth God's words. And all of that is contrasted with the devil. The devil is a liar. John 8, verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. The devil is a liar, and he has his people believe and follow lies. He says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Find the very opposite is said of Satan. He is the father of lies. And his followers believe and follow his lies. And his people practice his lying. It's very interesting as you study the Bible that we recognize that one of the great prophetic insights is that truth is at the center of the stage in the last days. If you turn with me to a couple places in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 5, and of course, history repeats itself, and the history of God's people repeats itself. Because no matter what day it is in history, people are the same. And the spiritual realities of life are the same. And of course, that makes the Bible a living book, because it's dealing with the real issues of life. But in Jeremiah chapter 5, it's very interesting, first verse. It says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment. Now, judgment in the Bible is a very important word. And it means to define, to declare what is right and what is wrong. And we obviously understand that today. In America, there is a, for years it's been a great gray area. There's no right and wrong. And now, right is wrong and wrong is right. But, says, want to find if there's anybody who executes judgment, who says, this is right and this is wrong. And then it says in a parallel phrase, that seeketh the truth. And I will pardon it. Isn't that an amazing statement? Prophet says through the voice, as the voice of God, I'll go through all of Jerusalem, and if I can find one person who wants the truth, I'll pardon it. That's a pretty overwhelming statement, isn't it? If I find one person who is really wants to know the truth, I'll pardon the city. Now, what does it tell us about the days of judgment around Jerusalem? It tells us that people didn't want the truth. They weren't interested in the truth. They weren't interested in the truth. You know, the Bible says that New Testament times, that there will come a day when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Why? They don't want the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear. And that's exactly what was taking place. Now look at verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon what? Are not thine eyes upon what? The truth. You know what? What it's saying? God is interested in the truth. Thine eyes are upon the truth. We live in a day, sad to say, very few people are really interested in the truth. The megachurch movement is built upon nebulous truth. No firm doctrine. Because truth isn't important. Feeling is important. That's what is important. But God loves the truth. His eyes are on the truth. Are you a seeker after truth? You say, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. You know, what really counts is what's in your heart. Now, I don't really think there's a contradiction, because a true heart is hearts after truth. But you know, we can play games today with God. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Verse 1, it says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. In other words, they'll not be taken out of the land of Israel, which they eventually were, taken into captivity and removed from their land. And thou shalt swear, when they are right with God and they return to God, they will swear, the Lord liveth. in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. What a great truth. Though thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth. He liveth in truth. Other places of the scripture speaks about how God worketh in truth. Now those are refreshing words for us today, because that is being attacked. That is being attacked on every side. And we are told by what we see that God doesn't work in truth and that God doesn't live in truth. That God lives whatever man wants him to do. Very serious days. God is a God of truth. Now notice in the Bible, in the epistles of John, what does God say about the truth? 3 John, verse 3 and 4. And these give us another insight into the fact that God is a God of truth. That God loves the truth. God loves those who love the truth. He works in truth. He looks for those who are seeking the truth. Truth is important to God. 3 John, verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth. Now notice this statement. Here is John, the gospel of love. The apostle of love. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, obviously, this is the revelation of God. This is the Bible. And we know this is the Apostle John who said this. But this is God's word. This is what God is saying, not a mere man. And what is God saying? God is saying, I have no greater joy. Then what? Then to hear my children walk in what? Truth. Do we believe that the Bible is God's word? Do you believe that the Bible is the revelation of the God of heaven? Do we believe that the Bible tells us accurately who God is? Yeah. And our God is saying, I have no greater joy through the Apostle John than to hear that my children walk in truth. I wonder how important is truth to you? Is convenience more important than truth? Is comfort more important to you than truth? Is friendship more important to you than truth? Is religiosity more important to you than truth? See, the Bible reveals that God is the God of truth. Let's turn to this passage in Scripture, Psalm 138. Psalm 138, this is an amazing, amazing couple verses in the Bible. Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow. Do you get that? I have, because thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. No wonder Jesus is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. The God of heaven is the God of the Bible. That's who the God, the real God is. It's the God, He is the God of the Bible. And you know, a lot of people use the name of God. But they have a wrong belief about who that God is and what is right and what is wrong. And God says, this is amazing. Isn't this amazing? Can you comprehend this? Do you get it? I think this is almost above us. He has magnified His word above His name. Because the only true understanding of God is the understanding that's revealed in His Word. Isn't it amazing? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. In these last days, if there is anything that is prevalent, it is a confusion about who Jesus is. Very confusion. You know, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus that's coming back? You know, is it the Jesus that loves rock music? Is it that Jesus? Now, what Jesus is it? Is it the Jesus of the Seventh-day Adventists? You don't believe in His deity? Is it the Jesus of the Mormons who think that He's a brother of Satan? What Jesus is it? A lot of different definitions, right? And so it says, verse 13, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. I think the Bible is making it very clear that the Jesus who's coming back will be the one Jesus, the Jesus revealed in the Bible. That's the Jesus that's coming back and coming back with His armies in heaven. That is the Jesus that's coming back. And He makes it very clear to identify Himself when He comes back. This is who I am. You may be worshiping a different Jesus. And your Jesus may be the Jesus that you think about, but this is the only one, and the one who is called the Word of God. An amazing thing. God is the God of truth. John chapter 4, of course, we are reminded that this God, the God of the Bible, can only be worshipped in one way. Not many ways. John chapter 4, verse 23. It's very interesting context, because in verse 22 he says to the woman at the well, who is a Samaritan, who worshipped at the Samaritan temple in Samaria. And Jesus said to this woman, he says, you worship. Yeah, you worship. You're worshiping. You're worshiping. Yep, you're worshiping. But he says, you worship, you know not what. They think they're worshiping God. He says, but you don't know who you're worshiping. And why don't you know who you're worshiping? Well, he tells us in verse 23. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this is very definitive. The word must has the idea of necessity. There's only one way you can worship God. The Bible tells us, in spirit and in truth. Well, it's obvious, because God is the God of truth. How could the God of truth be worshipped in error? Wouldn't connect, would it? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we find a very great truth that the Bible reveals throughout the scriptures, and we looked at it a little bit, that not only is God a God of truth, he is the truth. There's nothing connected to him that is anything less than the truth. Nothing that's connected to him is anything less than 100% truth. He is the author of truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. The Bible says, John 16, that the Spirit of truth is going to come. Isn't that a great thought? The Spirit of truth is going to come. Howbeit, John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, there's a good thought. How does God lead you? How does God lead his people? He is the Spirit of truth. Obviously, now this verse is specifically speaking about that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He will guide you into all truth. Here it is. This is all truth right here. You don't need anything else. You want to know the truth. This is it. It's right here. Guide you into all truth. All the truth that you need to know and I need to know to live for God is right here. Okay? It says he guides us into all truth. Because why? God is the God of truth. Now think about this. Is God going to ever lead a Christian to do something that contradicts what the Bible says? Cannot. He cannot. He cannot lead a Christian to do something contradictory to the Bible. I think it's Isaiah 10:22. It says, to the law and to the prophets, if it's not according to my word, there is no truth in them. To the law and to the prophets. Go to the Bible. Go to what God says. If it contradicts the Bible, it's not of God. How would people know if they don't know the Bible? How would people know if they don't go to the Bible? You know, I think this is a parallel truth. Not only is God the God of truth, but the people of God are the people of truth. So is the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees. He gives some broad statements concerning them. For instance, in John 8, verse 37. It says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, physical seed in this state, but you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word hath no place in you. Oh, what does that mean? My word hath no place in you. In other words, these people, their thinking, their religion, their actions weren't based on the Bible. They're based on themselves. He said there's a spiritual truth they didn't have. The word hath no place in you. Boy, this is a important thing. Let's put it in opposite terms. The people of God, the word of God has a place in their life. What place does it have? It's the place of authority. It's a place of authority. The Bible is absolute truth. And what it says is absolute truth. And if it's an absolute authority, that means it rules. It rules. Verse 40 said, now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard of God, this did not Abraham. In other words, when Abraham was given the truth, what did he do? He obeyed it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into another country, obeyed, not knowing whither he went. He went. Why? Because it was the word of God. God said, go. And the word of God had authority in his life. Why? Because he was a child of God. God is a God of truth. God is the God of the Bible. Those who know God, they love the truth. They listen to the truth. They obey the truth. And so he said, verse 42, if God were your father, ye would love me because I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Cannot. Well, because, why? They were not born of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the people of truth. Now we have that emphasized. Verse 47, he that is of God. And in your Bible, you need to circle the word of. You need to circle the word of. It's a little word. It's so big. It is so big. He that is of God hears God's word. Hears God's word. What does it mean to hear? You know what it means. You tell your son, you know, clean up your room. And you come back 5 hours later, nothing's done. And you say, didn't you hear me? Well, yeah, they heard you. But they didn't obey you. Right? Because when an authority speaks, you expect submission. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying. He that is of God hears God's words. That is a revelational truth. He that is of God heareth God's words. Young person, when you see something in the Bible, what's your response to it? Take it or leave it. So what? Really? 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 You know, even the most backslidden Christian, when they hear the Bible, you know what they say? That's the truth. That's the truth. They may not be ready to obey it. They may not want to obey it. Their heart might be so hard, it'd be almost impossible to obey it. But when they hear it, they said, that's the truth. That's what I ought to be doing. You know why? Because Jesus said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Wow. I think one of the most delightful things in life is to see someone who's been genuinely converted and they start reading the Bible. They read the Bible, and they says, that's what the Bible says. That's what I need to do. That's what the Bible says. That's what I need to do. And isn't that precious? It's precious. It's also a miracle. Because it's real. It's supernatural. Because our God is a God of truth. He lives in the truth. He works in the truth. He delights in the truth. He's a God of truth. He's given us the Bible. His people are people of truth. We need to figure that out. His people are the people of truth. I know there's many things how this would never happen. But you know what? If a true man of God could go into one of these mega churches, and with due respect and propriety, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Preach what the Bible says, not try to tickle people's ears. They'd find out in an instant how many people in that church are saved or not. How many people are seekers after the truth. That'd be the solution. Because when Jesus preached, there was always a physical response. There's always a physical response. In John 6, he preached. He says, many of them no longer followed him. How'd they know? Because they walked away. He said, we won't here. And what did he say to Peter and the disciples? Will you also go away? And what do they say? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. It doesn't matter if it goes against the grain. It doesn't matter if it contradicts how we used to think. It's the truth. We need the truth. Oh, you see, God's people are people of truth. And as we've already looked at, what should be the delight and the desire of God's people in the last days? What should be the desire of the people of God in the last days? If God says, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth, what do you think God's people should want to do? What do you think? Pretty simple, isn't it? Walk in truth. Walk in truth. You know, long have since passed the days when people would drive 100 miles to go to a church because it taught the truth. Long since have those days gone by. But that wasn't too unusual not many years ago. But today, day of convenience, comfort, pleasure. It's all about me. It's not about God. What a great contrast when it says that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Now that gets kind of hard hitting, doesn't it? If the devil is the father of lies, then we shouldn't have anything to do with him or his lies. Amen? We shouldn't have anything to do with him or his lies. Truth ought to be important to us. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I tell you what, it does matter. It does matter. This is a long story from a long ago. It was 1982. We're in our auditorium. concrete floor. We had someone visit our church. That was May of 1982. And after the service, I got chatting with these folks. And they said something like, well, you know, we believe the rapture takes place in the middle of the tribulation. Or something like that. I don't know, it's mid-trib, post-trib. And they said, you know, well, you know, you believe what you believe and we believe what we believe and, you know, that's okay. And I says, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. She said, oh, it's just doctrine. I says, no. The Bible says, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. For in doing so, you'll both save yourself and those that hear you. I says, you know, your doctrine not only is right and wrong, but your doctrine affects how you live. And I says, if you believe the rapture is going to come place in the middle of the tribulation or the end of the tribulation, you better have water in your bathtub and keep it full. And you better have big storeroom downstairs where you have all this, you know, dehydrated food so you can stay alive in the beginning of the tribulation when all the seal judgments are opened up. And I said, it makes a big difference. If you believe in mid-trib, let me tell you what, you have some scary days ahead. But praise God, I believe in the pre-trib rapture, and I have to worry about that. I'll be gone. Well, they probably never heard anybody talk like that before. But they start studying the Bible. They start studying the Bible. And because they were in a church that said it doesn't matter what you believe. So they start studying this for once. And I had a little correspondence, this was before email, letter or two, and they said, you know, we've been looking into this. About 3 weeks later, on a Sunday night, they came to church. And they said, you know what? You're right. It's pre-trib rapture. And it does make a difference how you live. It changes your whole view of who God is. And he says, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. And he says, you know, and we just put a little check in the offering. Because we know you guys need some carpeting for your church. And it wasn't too little for those days, like $4,000. Carpeted the upstairs, carpeted the downstairs, whole place. It was just a token of appreciation. They got delivered from this terrible, terrible doctrine of the pre-trib rapture of the church and started believing the truth. I said it right, didn't I? They got delivered from the terrible doctrine of the pre-trib, mid-trib. There we go. There we go. I got it right now. They got delivered from the terrible doctrine of the mid-trib. I look at people's faces. I thought I said the right thing. Does it matter? You know why? Because the devil is a father of lies. The devil is a father of false doctrine. Oh, it doesn't matter. A few doctrinal things over there. You know? They don't care about those things. Use a different version. It doesn't matter. Standards, doesn't matter. Oh, really? Isn't it amazing right in the middle of this? It says, the devil's a liar and the father of it. Because God has got a truth. And His people love the truth and seek the truth. One last point. No wonder the Bible says, lying lips are an abomination unto Him. No wonder the Bible says lying lips are an abomination unto Him. You know why? Because God is a God of truth. Amen? And the devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. Do you realize what the Bible's saying? Lying lips are an abomination unto Him. You know, we've come to a place that Christians don't think lying is so bad. We don't think it's so bad. We don't mind if our kids lie to the teacher. That's no problem. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you realize that lying lips are from the devil? And that if we have lying lips and our God is a God of truth, we do not have fellowship with our God. We are not in fellowship with God. Because sin cuts off fellowship with God, doesn't it? See, we need to go back to the Bible definition of who God is. It's a big thing. It is a big thing to tell a lie. Now in our house, lying was one of the big things. I wish I was as consistent as I should have been. But when we are doing right, if you told a lie, you got so many whacks. And it was not just one. It was a big thing. Deception, lies, half-truths, lie. Break fellowship with God. Well, you know, we need to be really careful that when we talk, we tell the truth. You know that? We need to be very careful. We don't tell half-truths. Because God knows, doesn't He? God knows. God knows if we're fudging the truth. God knows if we're twisting the truth. God knows if we're covering up the truth. And when that happens, we break fellowship with a holy, truthful God. Now the world says it's okay, doesn't it? And the world is of the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. Lies. 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 Two different worlds. The God of truth. And then we have the devil, who's the father of lies. No wonder David said in that great hour of deliverance, when he confessed his sin, he said, Lord, Thou desirest truth on the inward parts. Thou desirest truth on the inward parts. We can't fool God. We can't confess our sins and get right with God if we don't first become honest on the inside. Truth for us. Have we let it slip? Have we let it slip? Have we forgotten who God is? And what it takes to have fellowship with God? And if we're going to have that fellowship with that God, we're going to have to confess that sin. We're going to have to confess that half-truth. We're going to have to confess that deception. We're going to say, that was wrong. That wasn't the truth. That wasn't the whole truth. I purposely kept the truth from them. I didn't tell them the truth. I tried to mislead them. You know, it's wonderful that God is a God of truth. Because you know what? If God is a God of truth, and He is, that means you can know Him. Huh. Isn't that great? You can know Him. He's revealed Himself who He is. And that's who He is. Praise the Lord. You know what? Let me put it a different way. If you had acquaintance and they were always lying to you, what would you say? You say, I don't know who they are. Right? I don't know who they are. Who are they? I don't know. I can't know who they are. Because they're always lying. But God's a God of truth. You can know Him. Praise God, you can know Him. He revealed Himself in this book. And when He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you can believe it. Amen. When He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, we can believe it. We know that He's a forgiving God. And we can go on and on. We can know Him. Isn't that great? Everybody wants to be able to have a friend they can know. Oh, we can know God. And you know, not only can we know Him, but we can trust Him. We can trust Him. You know, you ever have someone say, well, I'll pay you back. You ever have that? And He said, maybe. I hope so. I doubt it. You ever say that? I doubt it. But you know when God says, whatever He says, you can stake your life on it. Amen? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with your life. God. You know? Because God is a God of truth, you can predict what He's going to do. You can predict what He's going to do. He's revealed what's right. He's revealed what's wrong. He's revealed who He is. You know Him. You know Him. God of truth. But you know, it's also that God of truth can transform us. He can transform us. You know, lying is an addicting sin. I know that's a psychological term, but that's all right. In other words, lying brings people into slavery. A person who lies, they got to keep on telling lies, don't they? They just got to keep on telling lies. And a person who lies, when they get in a jam, the first thing they think about, and we do it anytime, sometimes natural because we're sinners, the first thing they think about is a big story. Right? Yeah, I mean, it just comes naturally. You don't have to think about it. Big story. Lies. And you know what? People who lie, they think other people lie the same way. You know? People who lie, they figure that everybody lies. Now, a lot of people lie. Everybody lies some. But people who lie, they don't trust anybody. They don't trust anybody. Because they think everybody's just like them. Cover up, half truth. They can't trust other people. They can't trust authorities. Because they think authorities are like them. You know, Jesus Christ can change us. Jesus Christ can change us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. You know, it's nothing for Him to give us victory over that. It's nothing for us to have faith to tell the truth and leave the consequences with Him. God can change us to want to tell the truth. God can change us to love telling the truth and being truthful. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, it's the Lord Jesus who can transform us if we'll look to Him in faith. It's not a long process. It can begin the minute we trust Him. Maybe even the Lord speak to your heart today about that very important thing. Oh, our God is a God of truth. God said the last days were characterized by a lack of people wanting the truth, loving the truth, seeking the truth. Maybe you've caught a hold of that evil spirit. And God has opened your eyes today. And you're willing to be honest and say, you know what? I've lost the spirit of truth. I don't really care much. That's a serious thing. It needs to be confessed. Say, boy, something's taken hold of me that's very bad. We might think it's okay. But according to the Bible, it's really bad. And we need to say, God, something's got a hold of my life. It's not good. It's from the father of lies. I know it. God, you got to get a hold of my life. You got to deliver me from this spirit of the last days that says all I care about is me. I don't care about the truth. But isn't it great, though, that we can depend on God and His Word and we'll never make a mistake following this book because He's the God of truth. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank You that You are the God of truth, the God of the Bible. We thank You that we can know You. You are totally knowable, totally believable. Lord, we can follow You without fear because You'll never mislead us. And Your Word is true from the beginning to the end. Lord, help us to realize there is the real work of the devil. who's a liar and the father of all lies and deception. And Lord, help us to beware. Lord, may it be true of every dad in this place that they would say, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. Might it be the prayer of every one of us as Christians, Lord, may we recognize that you have no greater joy than when your children walk in truth. Because you are a God of truth. You love the truth. You gave the truth. You are the truth. Everything about the truth is from you. Should never minimize it, because that is who you are. And Lord, oh, help us take the truth out to many lost and dying people who don't know the truth. They think that, oh, by their religion or by good works or whatever, they think that some other way, any way, they can be saved, but we know it's not the truth. And that is of the devil. Lord, I pray that our young people, our young men especially, Lord, would get a hold of this spirit of truth. Lord, all these young ladies in this church need to get a hold of this spirit of truth. Oh, what a terrible thing it would be for mothers to raise little ones and not demand and teach absolute truthfulness in the home. Oh, what a scourge that would be. Oh, God, help us to return to the God of truth. And Lord, convict us. Convict us, Lord. Anything that we say that's not the truth, that's a slight on the truth, it's a cover up of the truth. Lord, help be honest people. Careful about our words. Help us, Lord, to sense the displeasure of your spirit the minute we would say something that is not the truth. May you be grieved. May we sense it. May we be people who desire to be truthful people. A people that knows that we cannot have fellowship with you if we don't tell the truth, even in our words. And so, Lord, work in our hearts. Work in our hearts. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you about this whole idea of being people of truth. You've caught the spirit of gray of the day that says it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter. It is secondary. Other things are far more important. God is speaking to your heart. But you need to turn from that false spirit. That's false thinking. Maybe a young person, the truth hasn't gripped your heart. You aren't a soldier for the truth. Doesn't mean anything to you. I tell you, God's a God of truth. It's important to him. Perhaps you're here and you say, you know, I've been careless with my lips. I lie and I didn't even confess it. It's gotten that bad. The Lord is speaking to your heart about being truthful. Maybe there's a big turning needs to take place in your life, asking God to turn you into a truthful person. And you say, today, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken my heart. I don't know what the decision is, but it's an important decision. And God knows and you know. And say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart today. Anyone here today, wherever you might be, amen. Amen. Praise God. Others. Okay. Lord, thank you for working in hearts. Oh, God. May you be free, Lord, in these hearts in a very special way. Give great victory. I pray in Jesus' name.